Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Frank. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Excellent. And with us tonight, our very first special guest.
That's right.
We have here our friend Palmer, a proprietor of a local comic book store, friend from my childhood, and sitting so close to me because we're sharing a mic. How are you, Palmer?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. How are you guys doing?
Oh, very good.
Great. Thanks
very,
for coming on the show.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So, start us off, as always, Frank. What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Sam Adams Cherry Wheat. Wheat ale brewed with real cherries and natural flavors added.
Is it really brewed with real cherries?
That's what it says. Brewed with real cherries.
Is it right like here. Lucy? Is it like Lucy in the grape pit where they're just like squishing
with
cherries?
Their feet, just squashing the cherries with their feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they use Michigan cherries for a tart fruit character.
Interesting.
What about you guys? What are you guys drinking?
I'm drinking Not Your Father's Root Beer, brewed with real fathers. Wait, no, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Ale with taste of spices.
Oh.
Oh, it's close.
Wonderful.
Close.
I'm just drinking Sam Summer. There's
nice.
nothing special about it. So like,
brewed with real summer.
Brewed with real summer. Yeah. They learned how to condense seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. It's their mastery.
Into bottles.
That's great. Well, so
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con happened.
Yeah, let's just no, just
it
no
just
preamble.
Happened. This, yeah.
Yeah, we had our preamble.
We ambled.
Now we're just ambling.
Now
yeah.
we're just ambling. This,
yeah.
this is the during amble.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a word.
That's a word.
So we are, it's Comic-Con. I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
And I barely talked to you.
Yeah.
Since all the news came out.
Correct.
So this is first time for everything for us. I have almost nonstop talked to Palmer.
Okay.
Since Comic-Con.
Okay. So I don't know what either of your takes are on this.
4 days on California time.
Oh.
Is
we had friends who were at
yeah.
Comic-Con this year.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So.
So you were getting live updates? From the floor?
At like 4 a.m.
Wow.
Like, we just ran into Stephen Amell. Like, really?
Yeah, they met Stephen Amell
on
the East
Coast.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Oh,
yeah.
But that's amazing.
I cared. Yeah. and they ran into them, like, leaving the hotel or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, took a picture.
That's cool.
Took a picture of them, not
Wait, were
with
those
them.
Two leaving together?
Yeah, they were leaving together.
Huh.
They're friends now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Which
because John Barrowman and Stephen Amell.
Oh.
Oliver Queen and Malcolm Merlyn are friends now.
All right.
Because, you know... He's Raish, and he has a ring, and Oliver gave him the
He's
ring.
He's a ring Raish, if
He's
you will.
Ring... That was good. That was really good. All right, so...
Do you want to start with DC, then?
We can start with DC.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about the most important event of the DC, anything this weekend. The Flash has a white emblem on his costume now.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
That is great.
That is great.
Now, here's my question, though. Before I go on, we're going to spoil everything.
Oh, yeah, everything
and
is
so
spoiler.
So if you haven't watched the trailers for anything that we mentioned,
right.
if you don't want to know any of this, please stop listening.
It's been like 3 days. It's your own fault.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, some things were released a little bit later, so...
Officially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anything that was announced at Comic-Con is fair game for this discussion.
Right. Yes,
so
right. Exactly.
If you didn't
okay.
want to know anything that came out of Comic-Con...
Well, here's the thing. They didn't announce that Flash was going to get a white symbol. It just showed.
It showed it.
It showed it. So my question is, clearly the symbol, like, you can pop it right off.
Right.
Like, that's just the way the costume works.
Yeah.
So my question is that they made that white symbol for future Barry, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like, where he's from the future. Does that mean that they just didn't show us, like, the red symbol? Or he, you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily that he has...
I don't know. That's a good question. It could be. I mean, I think it's one of the things we have to wait and see.
Well, I think Personally, I think that he does. I'd just be playing devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Just because Sisko sees the white symbol closer right. to the end of the
yeah.
season, goes,
yeah.
"Oh, white symbol, that's cool."
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
that alone, and that's a well, that minor makes, cosmetic change,
right? That just makes Simbo, Sisko go out to, you know,
just paint
Grossman's, get a bucket of paint,
and right? Exactly. yeah, and yeah.
So it's one of those like you see the future and then it changes
right.
the future.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Paradox. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so. So that was that.
Yep.
Stephen Amell's new costume.
Oh, man. That really got me excited.
Yeah. I was pumped. Now, you don't like Arrow as much, Palmer, right?
I don't, just because it's Batman.
yes. And okay. you don't dislike Batman. You just
I don't
dislike
Batman. It was just the first season of Arrow didn't grab me. I hung on till about the midwinter break and kind of cashed in my chips, which, of course, every time I do it, everyone's like, well, that was when it started getting good.
Right, of course, yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm not falling for your shenanigans. it's, the Suicide Squad didn't make me come back in. Rache didn't make me come back in.
Okay.
It's over.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I could see, I mean, like, halfway through season one of Arrow, I was like, not for me.
Right.
But then I came back, and now I'm glad I did, but the second season was real. We talked about this in our TV comic book TV recap, but it was really dark. It was just a really dark second season, but I am glad that they're
in third season. They're in their third season.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yeah. you're right. But I'm really glad that they're for season four. They're coming back and it's going to be
a different
brighter.
Tone. Well, yeah. I did watch some of the panel for Arrow. Did I watch that with you?
No.
Okay. I did watch some of the panel for that, and they talked about like, well, what's the writing like? If you're going to change the tone, what's going to be different about it? And they said, well, Oliver's making jokes in the cave, so
that's something.
Yeah. They said they're not. They said it's still the same show that you know. It's still gloomy. It's still raining, and so we're not totally changing it. They just said that where when Flash comes to town, it's going to fit now. I think think some of the best episodes of this season was when that cast was on, when they're sharing shows.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily even because of the story or because like, oh, they're teaming up or anything like that. Just because there was levity.
Yeah.
And that to me makes the show more enjoyable.
Exactly. Even when they went on to The Flash, they kind of changed in tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. They adjusted to The Flash's tone,
right.
Not vice versa. And so, and there was that scene in which Sisko and Caitlin and
Smoke.
Felicity and Diggle, maybe, or Roy. I think it was Roy. They had that conversation there. Like, so it's like dark here, like all the time. Like, it's remember?
Yeah,
it's it's fun for us, but it's kind of serious. Like, this switch like all the time. And pretty much. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that change. Mm. He's called Green Arrow in season four.
Yes.
First, the title of first episode in season four is Green Arrow.
Oh, yes.
And he's got his new suit, which I think looks dynamite. He actually looks like a superhero.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does,
And does he actually start having the trick arrows? Like, will we see the
boxing glove arrow? He did have the... Well...
They didn't even hint at it.
He technically had a boxing glove arrow in which he was fighting with somebody in... Who's fighting with Wildcat in?
Oh yeah,
in the ring, in the boxing arena. There's one on the floor, so he stabbed it and shot him and punched him in the face with the arrow. So technically, we did see it.
Yeah,
and honestly, that does not make or break the character for me. Like New 52, let's talk comics. New 52, I haven't seen a boxing glove arrow.
That's true.
Neither have I, but to be fair, I don't think I've actually read an issue, so
I read most of them.
Okay.
So arguably there's that little factor of error there because at the beginning I wasn't really enjoying it, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Whatever. So I like it a lot.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a brighter arrow.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Damian Dark.
Yeah.
Malcolm McDonough, Malcolm McDowell.
It's Neil McDonough.
Neil McDonough. That's it. Yeah. Good actor.
Yes.
Can be really menacing in a film if he wants to be. Doesn't always have to be jovial. So
that's right.
That's good. It's a little Marvel DC crossover.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. He is apparently also not the big bad
of
the season.
Okay.
So there's something larger looming out there, whatever that is. So that's cool. I'm fine with that. We also get into, this is the top of my head, Mr. Terrific's coming on to season four.
Oh, yeah. Fair play.
Fair play. Yep. Well, now that the Atom, Brandon Routh, you know, has his own show.
Right.
Which there's a great photo. I don't know if you saw this.
I think I didn't see it.
There's
about.
A, like, everybody's going off to the Arrow panel. It's just him looking sad in the hallway all by himself. Yes. Yeah. Like, sorry, Ray, can't come. You got your own show now.
Your own show.
Yeah. So that's cool. There were other characters coming, and I can't remember.
There's I honestly couldn't keep up. There were so many, but I'm just excited that they're doing that.
Oh, Anarchy. Yeah. That was the other one.
Oh,
Yeah, Anarchy is coming to Arrow. So more, again, going back to Palmer's point, a Batman villain, technically. But you could stick Anarchy in almost any city with any hero, and you've got yourself a villain. It's not... His shtick is really planting bombs around the city and being anarchy. But I've always liked that villain, so I'm excited for some reason. I've always just been attracted to that villain for some reason, not sexually.
Not like that.
Nope. So I'm excited to see that. We can talk Legends of Tomorrow. Let's go.
Let's go there. Yeah.
Hawkman is confirmed for Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Firestorm is confirmed for Legends of Tomorrow.
A new Firestorm.
A new Firestorm. That's right. Not Ronnie Raymond.
That's correct.
But Dr. Stein.
But Dr. Stein, yes. Ronnie Raymond, no. It's going to be Jackson.
J. Jackson. Which potentially could be Jason Rush's fake name or something like that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But Jason Rush made an appearance in Flash already.
Yes.
And it's a different actor.
Right.
Okay. We'll see then.
I don't know why they didn't get that guy, but whatever. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Firestorm is not a character that I'm like, it needs to be exactly the same.
Me neither.
Right.
Yeah.
Me neither.
It just doesn't.
Ronnie Raymond is really the only...
I'm really just watching it for Hot Girl.
Yeah. Actually, I can't remember her name for the life of me. It starts with a C.
The actress,
but she has a very active Instagram account.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she seems just like a genuinely nice and like super excited to be in this show. So
I'm excited.
That's all good. I think that was it. It's Vandal Savage. We already knew.
Yeah, but still so excited. Like one of my favorite DC villains. Like one of the in terms of second or third string villains. Like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's move on to Flash.
Flash, other speedsters.
Other speedsters.
Jay Garrick,
who has been cast.
Yep.
Whose name I can't remember, but that's okay because we didn't do our research before talking about this.
This is just a bunch of guys and a couple of beers.
We don't want to spoil everything for that.
Yeah, that's right. You'll find
do some homework. Right. You're lazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got Wally West coming.
Yeah. Wally West is not cast yet.
Right.
No. Professor Zoom.
Or they're just calling him Zoom.
They're just calling him Zoom.
I think they just said Zoom is coming.
Yeah.
Zoom.
So I would assume Zoom Zoom. Yeah.
I wonder
Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder if Professor was too comic booky for them or something. Too Silver Age.
It might be. I mean, because you've got Cisco who says stuff like, "Oh, Captain Cold," but then whenever they refer to him, they either call him by his real name or they just call him Cold.
That's true.
Never say Captain Cold.
When I saw Zoom, I was like, I could totally see Cisco being like, "Oh, he's like a professor, like Professor Zoom." Like, that's lame. Fine, well, let's call him Zoom. I can totally see a conversation like that.
That's fine. Yeah, I agree with that. Zoom. See, a lot of people got confused because Reverse Flash and Professor Zoom are two different characters.
Yes.
But everyone's like,
but they're the same.
But they're the same.
They're two different characters, but they've been the same character.
Yeah.
In the books, you have Professor Zoom and it's Thrawn. Like, Thrawn just showed up in the comics.
Thrawn. Thrawn is the blue alien from the Star Wars Expanded Universe.
Right.
Thrawn is Reverse Flash.
Eobard.
Yeah.
Guy.
Dude guy.
Right.
No, guy Last is a guy. Green Lantern.
He just, he just showed up in the comics, and he's Professor Zoom in the comic.
But it's Eobard Thawne.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I wonder if Eobard Thawne is making a comeback then.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Not as Harrison Wells, but as actual Eobard, as the guy who played Captain Love in Mask of Zorro.
That could be it.
The only other thing I've seen him in.
You and your Zorro references.
Yeah, I love Zorro.
I know you do.
Out of the night when the full moon is bright. Nothing. No.
Really, you're going to go with the black and white Zorro.
Yeah.
It was on a Disney.
It was on a Disney.
Yeah, I still have that tape. Not that I have a VCR to use that tape, but actually I think I do.
I beat you. Mine's on Laserdisc.
And
I still have the Laserdisc player.
Good for you. Good for you. There actually might be a VCR in my closet. I don't remember.
There probably is.
Yeah, anyway, there's a lot of stuff in there. So we don't go in there.
A lot of junk.
Yeah, so so we're just calling him. So let's call him
Zoom.
Right.
Zoom, typically, before the New 52 relaunch, was Hunter Zolomon.
Okay, yes.
Who
yes.
was... Who got like? See, they keep mixing matching because like the reading that I did on the character and what I know is that he thought Barry needed to be or Flash needed to be better.
Yes.
So he like became his friend
uh-huh.
to then become his enemy. It's basically the first season
right.
of
right.
Flash.
Right. Right.
And so I'm. Season one certainly instilled my faith in them that they'll do it well.
Right.
And honestly, again, it's a character that
there's a character that
has a very altered and sketchy past.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Take the bits that you like. And
there's
it's
time
good.
Travel involved. It's gonna get weird.
Time
it's gonna
travel just hurts my head.
Yeah. He's running in blue, though.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Someone,
I saw somebody tweet out or Instagram, and they were like, oh, Flash has blue lightning now? And I'm like, oh,
you,
no.
you
he
people.
Was running in blue, and then it says Zoom is coming.
Right.
Like, therefore, context clues leads you to believe that whoever was running was Zoom.
Right. People, man.
People.
People.
People. Just context clues.
Yeah.
Just follow the clues. Like a detective.
Wow. Like you're a teacher or anything.
Yeah, I know. People, people, people. Yeah.
Kids these days.
Kids these days. No context clues.
What do you think the odds are we're going to get Killer Frost in the second season?
She said she is ready.
Really?
She is like, I am ready to be Killer Frost. But I'm hoping that they kind of hold off a
Me
bit.
Me too.
I would like to see a couple of seasons of her descend.
Yeah.
As opposed to one day just being like, oh, I'm crazy now.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, obviously there has to be some sort of accident to turn her blue.
Yes. But I would also like to see her character evolve, like get gradually darker,
right.
and then the accident happens, puts her over the edge or something. I would kind of like to see what they were trying to do with Lex Luthor in Smallville, where it's like starts out the best friend and ends up the villain, where they kind of rushed it at a couple of points and
right.
then they brought him back good again and they made him bad again. But I would like to see it like a real progression.
To be fair, Smallville was on the air for such a short period of time.
Oh, yes, true. Yeah.
That they didn't have the time to do a proper
really,
character.
You're right.
Development.
You're absolutely right. I'm not being fair. I love Smallville. I really do. But yeah, I would like to see them do what they set out to do that with that character, which is just like gradually have him turn bad and then, you know, have one incident that puts him over the edge. That'd be, for me, that would be great to see. Caitlin.
I just figured just one episode, she's just going to snap. She's
going
to be sick of everyone falling in love with Felicity, and that'd be it.
What's so great about her anyway? God. I was in Sky High.
She was in Sky High?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that kind of makes me happy. never saw that movie. I don't know why it really makes me happy. But, okay, so all that's in. They said Grodd's coming back.
Grodd's coming back.
Captain
Which is
Cold.
Good, because they didn't do much.
They didn't really utilize
him.
Grodd.
Well, he's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
obviously.
It's an expensive.
So are dinosaurs. There's four movies of them.
Movies.
Yeah.
Not the CW.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, their budget is... when they Flash is their highest rated show of, like, 4 million viewers. And they're like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Other networks cancel for that low.
Right.
You know, so...
We're looking at you, Constantine.
Constantine was a couple million lower than that.
Yeah.
So that's that. But I can't think of anything else.
TV-wise?
I can think of a few other things TV-wise.
I mean, DC TV-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's like 10 TV DC shows out there.
Today they finally released the cast photos for Supergirl.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
Yes. I love the fact that they have a Jimmy Olsen that they're not calling Jimmy Olsen.
James Olsen.
No, I just mean the kid that actually looks like he should be Jimmy Olsen, but he's not.
Winslow Shaw is playing Toy Man.
Yeah,
or future Toy Man.
Yeah.
So that's fine. They said, you can check out Supergirl TV Talk to hear more about this. Frank and I go in depth on this, but we talked there. Reactron's coming to Supergirl.
Yes.
Livewire's coming to Supergirl, and Max
which is really good
is coming
because
to Supergirl.
Livewire,
yeah,
is such an underutilized villain.
Agreed.
In the comics, especially.
Yeah. I really enjoy the few stories I've seen with that character.
Is it too much to ask, even though they're casting somebody different for Livewire, can we just get Lori Petty to do the voice?
Lori Petty, that's her name. I couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
I said that Kat Dennings might make a good live action Livewire. Not that she would be that part,
right,
but I think she has that.
It's Kat Dennings. You don't know what she will do for weed.
That's hilarious. We talked about it a little bit on Supergirl TV Talk, but we got those three characters, and we've got Maxwell Lord.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he's actually been cast, the guy from Peter Facinelli, the guy from
Twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a good casting. I love him. Oh, so I love him as an actor.
You've seen him in things, because we were like, to the part.
Yeah. I was midnight front row for all the Twilight movies.
Sip that beer. Remember, it's made of fathers. So it'll make you more of a man.
But no, he's been in other stuff. Nothing that I can think of off the top of my head. But it's definitely an actor that you're like, I really like him in mostly anything I see him in.
Cool.
And that's when you're not confusing him with Noah Wiley. Because a young Noah Wiley, you does. Will.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Noah Wiley is a good actor.
Yeah, he is.
I miss him in things.
He's in Falling Skies.
Yeah, but I don't have TNT, so I can't watch it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I could, but I'm not paying $50.
I have TNT and I don't watch it, so it's okay.
It all works out then.
He was also in The Librarians, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. He was the main... He was Indiana Jones in The Librarian.
Yeah, that's right. So, and then there's Gotham.
Right.
Which I didn't hear too much about at Comic-Con.
They didn't really talk about a lot at Comic-Con, but they released a bunch of stuff afterward. And so that's what got interesting. So we know Tigress is coming to Gotham already.
Okay.
We know that season 2 is supposed to, this angers me, but season 2 is supposed to be the origin of the Joker.
We don't know that for a fact.
No, they've said it.
Have they?
Yeah.
There was the cryptic tweet by
at Comic-Con. All right. And then the kid that played whatever,
who everyone thought was the Joker.
Right. He showed up at Comic-Con to like ask a question and be weird in the Joker, and they like fake pulled him out. Yeah. Okay. And like all this stuff. So
he is the Joker after all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. Photo.
I liked
his performance. Don't get me wrong.
And his laughing was on spot.
Oh yeah.
I liked all that. I just don't want to see his entire pantheon of villains show up before Batman. Because the kid's only 12, maybe 13.
You know what? I'm going to say the same thing to you that everyone said to me anytime I slightly criticize Smallville.
Yeah, this is true.
It's Elseworlds. This is how it is.
You know, it's true. And I think that when I watch Flash, I think it when I watch Green Arrow, or even the movies or whatever, this is just another version of the story and these characters that I enjoy. So as long as the characters are the characters and not weird facsimiles of themselves, then it's fine.
I think the most difficult thing right now would be, because you have the DC universe trying to gel cinematically and have a cohesive universe, it's going to be difficult to have that and kind of a frayed version of it.
That's true. But I mean, like you said, it's Elseworlds. So if you can embrace that there's one alternate timeline, why can't there be two?
Right.
So, yeah, that's a valid point. But I didn't hear much else out of Gotham out of Comic-Con.
Yeah, there wasn't too much. Maybe they realized they didn't need to.
I'm not done with my news yet, boys. All right.
Yeah, pick it up.
Down.
Yeah.
All right, so I had to look it up because this is my one lookup.
Are they introducing Lieutenant Eckhart in this?
Oh, no, I wish they would, though. Hey, Eckhart, think about the future. Oh, I was listening to something today. Did you know that he's supposed to be Special Forces?
Really?
I never caught
Lieutenant
this.
Eckhart?
No, oh. Jack Napier, the Joker, in Batman 89 is supposed to be Special Forces.
Oh.
Like, I guess when Batman does his detective work that we don't ever see.
Right.
When he's like mumbling to himself and he's like, chemistry and art, blah, blah, blah. He says something about, or it's on the paper and it says Special Forces.
Interesting.
That's where his background is and all of this stuff and how he has guys and like how he gets in, like there's all this. It's like, it's there, but it's never. And I was like, oh, that's very interesting.
And how he dances in the devil with the pale moonlight.
Right. And so he was in NAMM or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he was in some Cold War, some type of fighting, so, and he just, like, joined and, like, fell hard some hard times, joined the mob afterwards.
Interesting.
Or maybe after he killed the Waynes, that then he, you know,
fell in with the wrong crowd.
Fell in with the wrong crowd, or joined Special Forces afterward. Like, right, whatever.
Right, right. Who knows? Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, but here we go. These are new villains coming. Villains coming to season two.
Okay.
Getting Clayface.
Mm.
Which I assume we're just getting Basil Carlo, the actor, and not necessarily Clayface. They'll say maybe he'll commit a crime, but not the Clayface. Sure. The Mad Hatter.
Yep.
We're getting. Tigress and Theo, I said. Yep. Jerome, the Joker. Penguin's coming back. Catwoman's coming back. Crazy ex-girlfriend, Barbara, which I guess is now a villain. And the one that I was most excited about, which is not a villain, but Azrael, is coming to season two.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. I was actually really excited. This is the first, this is a live, first live action Azrael.
Wow.
Yeah. That's cool.
It is.
And that's something, Order of Saint Dumas, Azrael predates anything.
Right.
From anything of Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hundreds and hundreds of years old. So that's great.
That's a good really idea. Cool. That's really cool.
My only wish with Gotham this year is if we can get at least one scene where Catwoman doesn't crouch and act like a cat. I get the fact that she's Catwoman. We all get this.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. You're going to be Catwoman. Stop teleplaying.
Like,
it.
If she just starts licking her finger and, yeah. You know.
It's true. It's true. Well, it's kind of like, you know, like Little Ivy there, where they're like, you half expect when Bruce first meets her, you half expect her to be like, oh, she's poison.
Right, like, right, right, right.
I hate you.
We get it.
I hate
she just starts giving everyone flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, she does, yeah. So, all that aside, I'm really excited. The kid who plays Bruce says they're going to see a lot of him, like, figuring out dual identity, how to be Bruce Wayne in public and how to be somebody different with Alfred.
Yep.
And so I'm excited. I liked season one. I didn't love season one, but I liked it. And so I liked it enough to watch the whole season.
I really enjoyed season one. And it's, there was a couple flaws and there were times like the writing got better. And it was weird because I know I've talked to you about it. Like, when you get someone who's actually written comics, even if they haven't written a Batman comic, it seems they can write a comic book show better. And there were a few episodes that I would be like, hey, this episode was really good. I would go back and look at the writing cast, and it was Ben Edlin.
Uh-huh.
You know, the guy who created The Tick. But he's also, you know, he's done Supernatural. And he's done, like, only, I'm not a huge fan of Supernatural, but his episodes were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And
he knows his genre.
Right.
He knows comics, he knows TV.
And,
and he knows the genre overall. Yeah.
So it's good. I'm excited for all that. And Mr. Freeze, that was the other one. Which they already announced previously, but he's coming in.
Yep.
So
Freeze or Fries?
Freeze. I was just saying that to you.
I know. Yes, that's why I brought it up.
So it bothers me that he was Dr. Freeze that looks like Fries, and then he becomes Mr. Freeze afterwards.
He got a demotion.
Like, you're still a doctor.
No. Once you can't survive in sub-zero degree weather, you're no longer a doctor.
It's written in the tiny corner.
His doctor had frozen, fell off, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. Yeah, it's gross. I went to get a sip of beer. All right, so moving on to the big DC news.
Yeah, Constantine is...
Bigger DC news. They showed concept art that has not been released online.
That's right.
But it did show some concept art of Green Lantern stuff. New movies officially called Green Lantern Corps.
Green Lantern Corps.
Yep.
Which is a nice way of them just like skirting the line.
Yeah.
Which is weird because wasn't one of the complaints with the last movie was the fact that they were too broad.
Like there was too just many
too
of
much
them.
Of no, Green Lantern. I don't think it was that it was too broad. I think that it was you saw all of these amazing things and you still focused on about a guy
who sucked at it.
Are you going to guarantee me the Squirrel Green Lantern? Because if so, I'll stand in line now.
Yes, I will guarantee you that.
Great. Actually, that's probably a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
I mean,
And
I did hear, I don't know how true this is, but I did hear that they were tapping, what's his name?
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Pine.
Which person who was supposedly Steve Trevor.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So that's why I'm confused.
They might have offered him both.
Which pilot he is?
Well, no. That's good.
He's some DC pilot.
He's a pilot. He's some cocky DC pilot. Whatever. Yeah.
He can play the type.
Right, but I guess maybe it's up to him what he
take
wants.
Your pick. Which role do you want? The same guy anyway.
Take Steve Trevor or Green Lantern. Now, I can be John Stewart. No.
No. Not okay.
It's not 1928. Can't do that anymore. Now, my guess is that Steve Trevor might actually have more of a life in him than Green Lantern.
Okay. Wait.
Because Green Lantern, for sure, appears in Green Lantern movies and Justice League movies.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Steve Trevor, working for the government, could potentially show up in any film, maybe except Green Lantern.
Yeah, but Steve Trevor is, like, a boring character.
No, I don't think about so. I like Steve Trevor a lot.
There's a reason why Wonder Woman dumped him.
Yeah. Steve Trevor is just.
I'm a Steve Trevor defender. I think you're all hams.
I mean, compared to Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan, done correctly. If I was an actor.
Not Deadpool Hal Jordan.
Yeah, right. Well, oh, yeah, we have to talk about that, too. Yeah. But if I was Chris Pine and I was like, you want to be Green Lantern or you want to be Steve Trevor? I'm like, I want to be Green Lantern.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Of course I do. Why is that even a question?
Right.
Plus, however, I think that Steve Trevor might offer him more exposure.
You know what? I can give you this.
In a range of films.
But
he's not a starring role.
That's it. But he's Chris Pine.
Right. He's Captain Kirk.
Right.
Maybe, but that's the other thing.
Plus, here's the thing.
He signed on for a fourth Star Trek before the third one's even out yet.
Right. But here's the thing is, not only did you reasonably regenerate Star Trek,
yeah,
for a newer audience. But then you can be the guy that resurrected Green Lantern. It's a low bar.
That's true.
You can easily make this and turn it into a plus for you.
That's true.
Yeah, I got to side with Palmer on this one. Yeah, Hal Jordan over Steve Trevor.
Okay,
well, Steve Trevor is going to be like the Coulson of that franchise. You know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong. I think I would like to see him. I would like to see him as Green Lantern. But I just think that. I like Steve Trevor, and I want him to be...
Right.
Chris Pine's a good actor, and he might make that character something.
But I can't see Chris Pine having bit parts in six films instead of starring roles in two or three.
No, I'm starring a role in one.
Yeah, it takes a certain kind of person. And in fact, if I'll start the petition, can I get Clark Gregg as Steve Trevor? Like, can we just make him pull the Justice League together the same exact way?
That would be kind of awesome. Actually, that'd be awesome.
That's just his thing. He's a specialist. He just goes around and pulls the other groups.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Yeah. Yes. Okay. We need to talk.
BVSDOJ is what I like to call it for short.
Right. Yeah, for short. Yeah.
It's what the cool kids are saying.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag. Afterwards, they just say hashtag.
They pause and then say hashtag.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So DC did the smart thing. Yes. By DC, when I say DC, and Warner. We all say DC, we mean Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Because DC is not its own film company like Marvel is.
Right.
So,
well, but I mean, to be fair, even if you're talking about DC the comics, you're still talking
DC
about
Entertainment.
Right.
Yes.
DC Entertainment.
Who has their own figurehead and everything
Warner
like
Brothers
that.
Warner Brothers is putting it out, but there's a lot of DC people.
Yes, that's true. But it's ultimately, they have Warner Brothers overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But not in the same way that Disney has overhead over Marvel.
We're really getting in the weeds about this.
I know. I like weeds. Why are you going to be all off the ground about Steve Trevor?
Kat Denning likes
weeds.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this trailer. I've seen it more times than I've seen any other movie in my whole life.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. So
oddly enough, surpassing the DC movie V for Vendetta.
Oh, God.
Which
I've seen like 20 times.
I love that movie. So good.
Yeah.
It was actually on sale on iTunes for $9.99 the other day, and I was like, oh, I love that movie. I'll get it another time. And
yeah.
I go back and be like, oh, I really should go get it. And the sale was gone.
Of course
I was like, no.
Wait till November like 4th. I bet they'll have it then.
Yeah, that's true. Or they won't because people will pay the high price. So whatever.
You have Batman v Superman.
This could be a super long episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I will not be ashamed to admit, after watching about halfway through the trailer, I started crying. It was so beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Ben Affleck as Batman. I was on board with since day one.
Me too. We were like the...
I never had a problem.
When the news broke.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were going downtown. We were going to see a movie. And the news broke. And I really just started doing like handstands like down the street. And then did. I and almost knocked too. Myself unconscious difficult. Getting into my car.
Yeah. It's true. I have video.
I have never had a problem with the idea of Ben Affleck. I don't know why there was so much hate on the internet. Now,
I think
after
people flash back to 2003.
Which is, I know. I had this conversation with somebody on Twitter the other day, and I was like, why, can you explain to me why everyone hates this idea of Batfleck? And he just shot me back a picture of Affleck, you know, in the Daredevil suit.
Which wasn't his fault.
Right.
It's not his fault. He's actually one of the better parts of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
who's got a lot going for it?
He was the Brandon Routh of that movie, if you will. So you know, I think this trailer is exciting.
It's very exciting.
Now you know I have been skeptical because after seeing Man of Steel, Superman
is
my favorite.
I'm a big
character.
Batman fan, but you two are bigger Superman fans than I am.
Yes.
So right.
Yeah. I have loved Superman my whole life, and I was not totally thrilled with Man of Steel. With some of the choices they made. And I just felt like some of the choices did not align with the character as I see it. And I don't think David Goyer knows what he's doing.
But David Goyer didn't do anything with this film.
Well, yes, he did. He co-wrote it with the guy who did Argo.
Chris Tellios, something like that.
Yes, the guy who did Argo.
That guy. Chris T. He is the only credited writer now. Like, he rewrote the whole thing.
Okay, great. I mean, I know he is the chief architect of the film, so to speak.
So,
but Goyer's a little bit involved.
David Goyer also had a hand in writing Dark Knight.
Yeah, I know.
And Jonathan Nolan wrote the rest of it.
Right.
Well, no, David Goyer wrote the whole script.
And then
Batman Begins. But he wrote the story to... Right. Dark Knight, and then Jonathan Nolan did the whole thing. So I think this is a similar situation.
Probably is.
And look how much better, like, look at the progression of that character from one film to the other. Not saying Batman is a bad film, but you know what I mean.
My take is, while it took me a little while to be okay with some of the creative decisions in Man of Steel, watching the trailer, it just makes sense now. And the fact that you have those decisions that ultimately give you a backstory as to why Batman feels the way he does.
Yes, I will agree with you there. Seeing this trailer, it does feel like it is giving reasons for all those decisions that didn't necessarily agree with at the time. I don't know if I think that a lot of it might be reactionary, like, oh, people didn't like this, so we're just going to kind of make it, like, you know, that's a really good lead into the story we already had in mind for the next movie.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That means they're right. owning
that's fine.
What they did.
Yeah. I'm saying I do think that's probably what happened. Yeah. But I was skeptical before. After having seen this trailer a bunch of times, I am a lot more excited. Like the most excited I've been for this film since it was announced.
Yeah, right. Me too. Actually,
yeah,
yeah. It just seems real.
Yeah.
Even past the first teaser and the Comic-Con, the grainy Comic-Con footage from last year,
and the darkness feels earned.
Yes, I agree. There's a reason for it now.
Yeah,
as opposed to it just being a dark world.
Right.
But not Thor of the Dark World.
Mm-hmm, right. But then you still have Martha Kent being like, you can save them or don't. Do whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
What would your father say?
She doesn't exactly
say. What would your father say? Probably this.
She kind of does.
She does.
I guess I'm going to be the defender again. Okay. She is technically
a widow and really sad, and she doesn't care what. No, I'm kidding.
I super hate you. She is technically correct. He doesn't owe the world anything.
Right.
And you don't see the other side of that conversation, right? Like, because he even looks at it weird. Like, there's that where she says it, and he kind of goes, what?
Yeah, but, I'm not going to. Yeah.
So, let me just get there.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
okay. Before I make my joke.
Okay. It's a trailer, one.
Yes,
so you never see the full scene, so you don't know the rest of the conversation. You don't know what came before it or after it. But two, she's technically right. He doesn't owe the world anything.
Okay.
It's his choice
to
be this person that saves people. Okay? And all she's doing is telling him. She is laying out that side for him because she's a mother and she... at not doesn't want what's best for the world. She wants what's best for her son.
Yes.
And that's what mothers do. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, she's more real of a mother than any other version of Martha Kent that I've ever seen on screen.
Okay. Right.
Because her first instinct is to protect her son, the man who protects everybody.
This episode of Tim's Soapbox has been brought to you by...
Yes, thank you.
Beer.
Yeah, but I make an excellent point on top of my soapbox.
Well, right. I mean,
it's Dove.
Let's be realistic. I like the fact that she's like this, because if I hear one more parent skirt around the world words "with great power comes great responsibility,"
oh, yeah,
I'm just gonna shoot everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you have to go in a different direction.
That's fair. I'm just gonna say that, like, when Jonathan Kent, we saw him say, like, "Yeah, maybe you should let the kids die." I don't know. We were all let like, "Maybe die. That's not what he meant." Hey, we'll wait till we see the movie. And no, then what did he true. Say? And he I said
know,
that exactly.
No, that's what he meant.
That's exactly what he meant. Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about that. But
again, but
to be
that's
fair,
the, but
he was. It's because he saw the rap music.
And, that's
like,
true.
Like, you know what?
Yeah. But it's the same. It's the same argument that as a father, he wants to protect his son,
right.
And he believes that the world was going to hate and
that's
scorn
true.
Him.
That's true.
And he was right.
Yes.
That's the thing that nobody actually, like, pinpoints. Like, he was right.
Yeah.
And now, I don't necessarily agree with him not saving him from the tornado and all, like, stuff like that. I'm
he
like,
didn't want him to save him from the tornado.
I know. And so he's respecting his father's wishes that way.
Right.
But how mad would he have really been if...
You saved my life!
Yeah, because...
And the dog!
Technically doesn't have to get him and, like, go back, like, under the bridge.
Yeah, it's
he
true.
Could have run somewhere else with him, away from the tornado.
Yeah, but that's the movie that came out 2 years ago and not the movie that's coming out next
right,
year.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, We can talk about Man of Steel another time.
Yeah.
So that's about Martha Kent.
Yeah.
And so I know it's the same argument that I used to defend, that I used to defend before, but
right.
I'm saying it again.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
That's not an unlikely thing for mother to say.
Right. Okay. Right. So, important question. What did we think of the Batcave?
Batcave looks good.
It looks good.
Batcave.
It doesn't look like a drippy, bat-filled cave.
Now, although I still didn't see a dinosaur in it.
I know. I'm super mad. Yeah. Maybe they're holding it off.
I'll at least
take the penny.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to give me the big dinosaur...
Give me the penny. Yeah.
Because all he needs to do is walk up to it and, like, tap it.
That's
and
right.
be like, good times.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When things were simpler. And everyone in the audience is like, what the hell?
What?
Like,
what is going on?
And
what's that Robin suit doing over there?
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Robin suit. Do we think it's Dick Grayson or do we think it's Jason Todd?
Jason Todd.
You would have to think it's Jason Todd.
My assumption as a comic fan is Jason Todd. However, there's rumors and set photos that Dick Grayson has a tombstone in the Wayne burial plot that you see in the thing. So
Maybe they're blending.
No, that's stupid. I'm
fine with any Robin being dead. For one, let's be realistic. He's getting these kids at, like, 12 years old and then putting them up against villains. They're going to die.
Yeah, well,
you see that meme of Ben Affleck hugging the kid and, like, from the sandstorm? And it's like, oh, my building's destroyed, but at least I found a new Robin.
Oh, God.
And I think it actually helps his character to have more loss.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes and no. And so... I get that there's, like, this sense of loss, and because most audience goers at least know Dick Grayson. They don't know Jason Todd as much, but they know Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
And so there's that connection for them. And so if they go, oh, he's dead, that's so sad, or they go, I hate this movie, you killed Robin.
Right.
You know, like, whatever. There's some kind of emotional response there. That I understand. However, I think you're boxing yourself into a corner by killing off characters when you're starting to, like, when you're starting to restart a unit, like, when you're trying to build a cinematic universe, the first thing you, rule number one is don't have dead characters that could potentially be their own money-making property.
You just go backwards.
Well, you go backwards. You do prequels.
I did think that, too, because he said he's been operating for 20 years in Gotham.
Right,
so you have 20 years of storytelling in that, which is fine, but at the same time...
But, like, okay, you start with Dick Grayson. He's already dead because they're just going to take Death in the Family, and they're going to put the Dick Grayson name on it because they figure people know that name. But then that still leaves you Jason Todd. That still leaves you other Robins that you can...
No, because the whole... Jason Todd...
No, not...
Jason Todd only works And Jason Todd only works dead and as the Red Hood because of the kind of Robin that he was. He was reckless and stupid and angry.
Okay, but
that feeds into him being the Red Hood, and that only works if he dies.
Okay,
and then comes back.
I don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they're doing. It might not be Dick Grayson. I mean, who knows?
But I'm choosing to believe Jason Todd because
it could just be an outfit he bought on sale somewhere.
And then spray painted it to be like, I love being depressing.
Right, exactly.
It is Batman.
Dark enough. Can we put some spray paint on this?
Yeah. And actually, I really like
frame it.
I like the spray paint idea because I feel like that's even more of a slap in the face to him. Because it's one thing to walk by the outfit of your dead partner and see that every day, but it's even more to walk by and see the taunt of the person that killed them.
See it defaced.
Like, And that also, smart movie-going experience, tells the audience immediately who did that.
That's true.
Right.
That's like, very true. Yes.
You can see the bullet holes and all that stuff, and so you're telling that audience immediately what happened.
And anyone that gets bent out of shape like you just did about the possibility of it being Dick Grayson, I just want them to sit back, close their eyes and remember Chris O'Donnell.
Actually, that's I did that. I did that.
Because and yet you were still like, that angry.
Yeah. Yes, I was. Because I grew up with Chris O'Donnell.
But Chris O'Donnell really? Didn't grow
no,
up
I
with
literally
you.
Grew up. I literally grew up with him. He was my next door neighbor.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
I know.
How have we never talked about this before?
Well, he's kind of a private guy.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a private guy, obviously, because I'm telling
you. Did he always wear eyeliner, or was that just for the movies?
That's just for the movies. Okay. And that one time on a Friday night that I don't want to talk about.
Oh, okay, we don't talk about that. That's fine.
No, it's cool.
Okay, that's so other any other thoughts on BVSDOJ? Hashtag.
Yeah, oh yeah, I got a lot of thoughts on this. Oh my Share God, them, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? We made Share it like them. 30 seconds into the trailer.
I know.
Well, it's a 4-minute trailer. All right.
I want to
so
hear them.
Let's keep rolling going. Along. Let's talk about Lex Luthor.
No.
And his majestic wig.
It's a wig, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, they released the first photo we saw bald. Of him. He was bald.
Right, so, but I'm saying, do we think that's real hair that he loses everything?
Oh, no, it's totally a wig. It's the Gene Hackman. It's a Gene Hackman
reference.
And he's going to lose the wig again.
Yeah.
But I like that his wig is red hair because Lex Luthor traditionally has red hair.
That's true.
And so I know you're not a fan of Jesse Eisenberg. Palmer.
Not at all. And this is... As much as I love to defend this movie,
the man who compared genocide and Comic-Con.
And you know what? That just made me so happy when I read that today because I'm like, everyone's going to see the hatred that I had for
him. Anti-life justifies my hate.
Exactly. I'm like, really? I was on the train long before the rest of you.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Actually, I remember when he was cast, everyone went, what? But
he played Mark Zuckerberg. Do you care?
You know what? But you know what? He's Lex Luthor. We're not supposed to like him anyway.
Right.
So, whatever.
I actually think that his performance is interesting to me, but he's like a little jokery for me. Not in a bad way, but I'm noticing a little bit of just like a little bit of just left of center.
Okay. I don't see that as much.
His delivery, I guess, more than anything.
The red capes are coming, certainly.
Okay, yeah.
Straight.
Yeah.
Even when I watched it, see, I like the line
I like the line.
But again, it's that out of context, you don't see the full scene for what it is thing.
Right. We don't know if he was like huffing glue in the scene.
Right, exactly.
Right.
He could have been. You don't know what Holly Hunter, the senator, is like. I don't know. Like
that's who it was.
Holly Hunter, yeah. All right, so that's fine. But. He's clearly very self-absorbed Lex Luthor.
Yep.
And I like that. Mm-hmm. And there's that scene where Superman is kneeling in front of him. He's like subjugated Superman. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And he kind of like takes him and he like brushes his head. And the look that he has on his face is, this was the trailer of amazing faces.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of times where I was like, Ben Affleck's angry face when he sees the paper that says like you let your family die, and he like looks up and he's like eyes bugging.
Yep.
Great face.
Oh yeah.
Superman mad face. Great face. Lex Luthor malicious face. Great face. There's a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, I'm gonna kick your ass because you hit me face.
Oh man, that was so good.
Jeremy Irons, I am Alfred face.
Yes.
Jeremy Irons, I am the smexiest Alfred of all time. Like I saw him and I was like, Alfred.
Oh my.
What are you doing?
Mm.
What are you doing after your shift in the Batcave?
Want to go over to my Batcave?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Mm. I love Jeremy Irons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Except that he made some weird comment about gay marriage. Did you hear about this?
No.
Where he was like, gay marriage, does that mean that husbands, I mean that fathers can marry their sons
now?
And you're like, Jeremy Irons, like,
No, it doesn't.
No,
but,
it doesn't.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. It's not what that means at all. It doesn't stop me from liking his movies, though.
Right.
So
yeah, people can be idiots.
People see weird things.
Yeah.
So
what about the kryptonite?
I'm sorry.
It was
kryptonite. Good job. It was one of the low budget effects of the film. It was obviously just a shiny rock with some green light projected on it.
But that's all kryptonite?
So where do we think it came from? Do we think it came
space,
with
Krypton?
The ship?
Krypton. Well, I mean, really?
Well, yeah, obviously. But do you think they found it with the ship? Do you think they found it underwater?
I think it's that dive scene.
Or is that Aquaman?
No, I think it's the dive scene. Okay. Yeah, okay. Because they make mention, someone in an interview a while ago made mention of like finding the kryptonite like across the world.
Okay.
And so maybe
World Engine,
something like that. Maybe it was like, you know, when it was like pound. Yep. Maybe so it doesn't actually land with the ship, but like the World Engine is what created the kryptonite.
Could be.
You know what I mean? Mm. Something like that. Because if they're terraforming,
yep.
then like something yep. like, you know, yep. it wasn't finished. Then like right. that would be a very interesting origin for kryptonite
yes,
that
we
hadn't seen before. And I'm going to be so happy if I just called that right now.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
so
no,
happy
that's
with
viable.
Myself.
I think that's very viable.
Except that by the time this movie comes out in almost a year, I'm not going to remember that I said this. At
that's
all.
Okay.
Nope. Somebody remind me.
And actually, when we go see the movie, if that is the thing, I'll be like, remember when I said that?
No, sorry, no, because we have a log of.
I'll digitally alter.
No, you
it.
Will not. Okay. No, you will not. This is not Batman Returns. You cannot digitally alter my voice.
Man. I'll just get Alicia Silverstone to help me.
Oh,
there
good.
It is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good job. All that. What's up with Desert Batman?
You mean Batman Fury Road?
Yeah. Why didn't anybody else think of that before? It looks great. Yeah.
I know.
I want to know what's up with Desert Batman. I want to know what's up with Superman troops.
Yeah. Super Troopers. You
super
troopers.
I want to know what Super Troopers yeah. there. That's what they're officially known as. Super Troopers.
I'm going to assume it's some sort of cult.
Yeah, I would think so.
That is operating outside of Superman's purview.
Yes, yes I absolutely yes. agree. But what is Batman doing in the desert
looking
after
for
them?
A Lazarus pit?
Yeah.
Because that's all Batman does.
Yeah.
You know, he might be.
That's actually a very good.
That's a very, very good yeah. point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
He very much well could be looking for a Lazarus pit.
It's definitely not worrying
about you have, if you have this person leaving you cryptic messages. You're probably going to be looking
out. The rumor is that it's either the Joker leaving him that message or it's Jason Todd / maybe Dick Grayson as the Red Hood leaving that cryptic message. I'm in favor of Jason Todd. Maybe it's Scooty McNairy. Like, who knows? But because we know he's in the film. But that's what I'm in favor of. That's the thing that intrigued me most about that whole trailer. I want to know what's up with Desert Batman.
Like,
he's in a coat. He's got goggles. I want to know what's going on.
Yep.
He looks like he's in the middle of a war zone in the Middle East. And
maybe
I'm
he's looking for kryptonite.
And the Super Troopers are defending it?
It's possible.
Who knows?
It's possible. I don't know. Anything's possible. But on a whole, it was a fantastic trailer.
Great trailer.
And
does this
but you know what? The Man of Steel trailer was really good, too, if I recall.
And Man of Steel was a really good movie. Does this trailer go?
I do like Man of Steel.
Does this trailer go far enough to maybe convince, seeing as how no one's really officially confirmed it, that Doomsday is not in this movie?
So, here's my thing: we saw Zod in a body bag,
yes. right? Well, the rumor was that Lex Luthor. Right. Changes Zod's deceased corpse into Doomsday.
Right.
Right.
So what,
if we saw the corpse and there's that rumor, I'm just putting two and two together, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Do you think they got Michael Shannon back to be a dead body?
They probably filmed that before. Or they got him back.
No, they definitely didn't film it before.
Michael, we need you to just lie around for a few hours. Here's a few grand.
We'll pay you scale.
Right.
Yeah. He's like,
you're not really doing anything anymore. Boardwalk Empire is off the air. Yeah,
exactly. So I don't know. It did. They certainly didn't show us anything Doomsday, so.
Well, that's a big thing to release when people were getting jazzed about this movie.
Yeah.
Just seeing Batman and Superman, Lex Luthor, and like 3 seconds of Wonder Woman. You don't need to show Doomsday to get people jazzed.
Exactly.
Surprise me with something.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's one thing I have to say about this trailer and about the one we're probably about to talk about too. They didn't give away too much. Where like Jurassic World trailer, I felt give away the whole movie.
Yeah, the dinosaurs got out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, but Terminator Genesis gave away a lot.
I gave away everything.
You know, so like, I'm glad to see a trailer that I feel like I didn't feel like I saw the whole movie.
Yes,
I was intrigued, but I didn't feel like I was.
To be fair, it's only the first trailer.
That's true.
And you still have 7-8 months.
But it's almost a 4-minute trailer.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a lot of footage. This movie's definitely close to the 3-hour mark.
Oh yeah,
oh, it's gotta be.
There's way too much going on in this movie not to be 3 hours.
And my biggest concern is it's Batman v Superman 2 hours. And then the last hour is like, oh, we need the actual villain to show up and do stuff.
Yeah, it's very possible. Could be. I'd take 1.5 hours of Batman v Superman.
I would take 3 hours of Batman v Superman and just set up a villain.
Mm.
Maybe. Maybe.
But well, I don't think that's
you
the
you know Lex
go.
Luthor and something with Zod's body is like, that's your ultimate big bad.
Right, but that could also just be, you could also make the argument that that's being hinted at for a future movie.
It's not.
It wouldn't be in the trailer.
I couldn't make an argument for it, but I wouldn't believe the argument.
It wouldn't be in the trailer.
It wouldn't be in the trailer for this movie.
Yeah.
They're not Amazing Spider-Maning this. Like, the Untold Story. Oh, no, that's going to be in the sequel. We see the sequel. The Untold Story. No, that's going to be the other movie, too. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
All right, have we said everything we need to say on Batman v Superman?
Say what you need to say.
Well, for now.
I could definitely talk about... I could spend another hour talking about this and theories, but we have a lot more to cover.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're still in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been almost an hour.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Suicide Squad.
All right.
And the HD Comic-Con footage was released, so let's talk about...
Yeah.
We've all seen it.
We've all seen it.
Let's talk about this. We saw it yesterday together. We went to the movies.
Okay, nice.
We went to go see Ted 2, which was hysterical,
by
the way. I am so excited for this movie.
Me too.
This seems like DC's Guardians of the Galaxy. This is the movie that should not
work
or be very good.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to surprise people.
It looks really good. I agree with you. I think Guardians is a good analogy because it sounds like it shouldn't work.
Right.
But the trailer looks phenomenal.
It was so smart to set up the trailer with whatever 30 seconds of Amanda Waller telling the audience this is exactly what this is.
Yes.
She is so commanding, so menacing, and it's just the dialogue is terrific.
Yes, it is.
Terrific with great direction, wonderful cinematography all across the board. The film looks beautiful. Not even from a comic book standpoint or anything like that, but it is a beautiful looking film. I'm just very intrigued across the board. It doesn't show you a lot, and it actually shows you a lot of outside footage, which is, I mean, they're still filming right now, so, but it's showing a lot of outside footage that we as fans have maybe seen set photos of and stuff like that. And so I appreciated that because I'm seeing things as they're meant to be seen.
Right.
Which makes me feel better about them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Will Smith as Deadshot.
I don't think you see a lot of it.
Didn't see enough for my taste,
But he says the name of the movie.
You did.
Movie like some Suicide Squad. Like,
and there it is.
Unnecessary.
And roll
line.
Credits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm willing to give Will Smith a chance in this. Like,
I like Will Smith.
He's made bad movies, but he hasn't been bad in them.
No, I agree.
That's true.
The unfortunate thing is, essentially, you're getting Will Smith. Like, any role he's in, you're like, that's Will Smith.
That's Will Smith, yeah.
Yes, that's true. Yes, and that's true. And I'm definitely not going to look at that as Floyd Watt, and I'm going to look at that as Will Smith in a Deadshot
But he
costume.
Also seemed to have the Deadshot mask on more than I thought, which was like 5 seconds.
He only seems to not have it. I think that's all that scenes of them walking, that's the end of the movie. Like, that's the final climactic battle.
Right.
Let's go save the world, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's clearly, like, I've taken a turn, blah, 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 whatever.
Yes.
He's got the family man. He's got a daughter. That's comic stuff, which is good. Because Deadshot, recently, past couple of years, maybe, they've really focused on this Deadshot as a father trying to get time off his sentence to get back to his daughter. So he's still an assassin, certainly. But this is a guy who's just trying just to get to his daughter, which is good.
Right.
We don't see a lot of Captain Boomerang, Jai Courtney. But
that's true,
for an Australian guy, he's a great, sounds Australian.
Yep.
Which is good.
Actually, super authentic.
Yeah, it sounds super athletic.
Authentic.
Authentic. Yeah, I thought you said athletic. No. And I was like, yeah, he sounds super athletic. Good.
Super athletic.
Yeah, no, he sounds really good.
Yep.
Their clothes are strange. Like, it's very strange that they just go out on missions and, like, here's this jacket and jeans. Like, good luck. Like, yeah. That's the part. But I guess if they're...
How are you going to dress to go on a mission?
With body armor?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess my assumption is that if they're expendable, they don't care. Right. I'm wasting good body armor on you. Yeah.
Called Suicide Squad for a reason. Right.
Then, yeah, that's true. And Deadshot, being an assassin, has that equipment already.
Exactly.
So that's what he's going to wear.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Harley Quinn.
Margot Robbie stole the show for me. Stole it. I was blown away by her.
I mean, you get a look at her and she has a little bit of talking, but not much.
I think it's I think it's enough to know that she understands who that character is.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Yeah. But I mean,
it was only 20 seconds, anyway. But like with the 20 seconds of her delivering lines, I thought the delivery was perfect.
Yeah. She has that. She is clearly that little bit of levity. Yeah. You know, like when she like cocks the baseball bat.
Yes.
But it's not so much cocking the baseball bat. It's the face she makes while doing it. It's great.
She looked animated.
I'm going to create sacrilege.
Okay.
But I love the fact that the little I've heard of her doesn't give her the like New Jersey.
She doesn't want to sound. I don't think she doesn't want to sound like she's from Wolf from Wall Street.
Right.
But I have heard a little set thing from her. Where she goes, keep up, boys, or like something like that.
Right, but that's fine. But she doesn't sound as the animated
Mr. J. Right, yeah. She sounds like a human being.
That has gotten on my nerves so much lately. Like even the way she's written in the comics.
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
She sounds like a human being.
Right.
Yeah.
She's got a very Hannibal Lecter-y vibe.
Yeah.
Almost with like the cage vibe. In the middle of the room. Right.
Kind of a Joker-y vibe.
Yeah.
Yes, but like, but of her own.
Yes, her own brand.
Own standard.
So
I cared for all that. But speaking of Joker, Kill Croc looks great. His makeup looks great on screen.
Yeah.
It looks it's really good makeup.
Yeah.
Joker.
Oh, that's right. Joker's in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh. Jared Leto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not too big a fan of the laugh. I'm not going to say I hate it.
Okay.
But I'm willing to give it a chance.
Here's the thing with the laugh. There are multiple laughs. Nicholson had multiple laughs.
Right.
Ledger had multiple laughs. It's really just Cesar Romero that had the one laugh. Yeah. You know. So it's just that particular laugh for that particular scene.
Yeah.
Yes. But when it's the first thing you hear of the Joker, at least as far as the trailer goes.
You want the first impression to be.
Right. I want the cackle.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think the cackle fits the mood that the trailer set.
Right.
And so I think you have to go with the tempo of the song that they picked, which was great. I started a joke by the Bee Gees. It was great. Yes. What a great idea.
Yes.
That was excellent. Yeah.
It was great. However, DC, you know, if you're trying to be Guardians of the Galaxy, you have a little bit over a year to find Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah.
Which would also really work for this film.
Yeah.
Yes,
fans, come on, fan Let's trailer that.
Hooked on a Feeling, and that feeling is a shot of Harley Quinn and the Joker together.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Somebody get on this.
It's a great fan edit.
It has to be sung by like a creepy like operatic.
Slow it down. Yeah. Like the, well, this is the, that's, this
Hooked
is the.
Hooked on a Feeling.
Yeah, like, exactly. But. This is, well, that's the thing in trailers, you know, there are no strings on me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the, you know, that's clearly what this was.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But it worked. I don't care. It's fine. It's great. Yeah. And fit the mood.
No,
it,
I'm not criticizing at all.
Joker's tattoos. Do they work on screen?
Much better than they did in that photo.
Yeah, I think. I agree.
I mean, they're a little bit more subdued.
Yeah, and exactly.
Like I've been trying to.
He's also wearing clothes most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going
to
see him.
I'm trying to calm people down. Like, if Joker were made nowadays, he would have tattoos.
Yeah, he would.
I also pinpoint you to Frank Miller's and Jim Lee's All-Star Batman and Robin, in
where
which
he has a giant dragon
tattoo on his back. And when that came out, the majority of the crowd went, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then they get the Joker tattoos. Everyone's like, tattoos on the Joker.
Well, because it wasn't a dragon.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's like, it's on point. Like, I am damaged. I laugh at things.
It's also a different audience, though.
It's a different audience. Yeah. Yeah. I think he looks incredibly menacing.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Absolutely.
Gave me gave me a little, not like the chills or the shivers or anything like that, but certainly gave me the heebie-jeebie-weebies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as like live action Jokers, there's really only two Jokers that I could picture beating Jason Todd with a crowbar. Heath Ledger and him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't see Jack Nicholson do it. Jack Nicholson will shoot him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he wouldn't take the effort to beat him with a crowbar.
And Cesar Romero will just make him sit on a whoopee cushion.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's true.
Look at my mustache. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like his voice.
Yes.
I don't think he's. I don't think he. See, here's the. I don't think he's trying to do an impression of anybody.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's trying to do a Joker. He is just acting.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing a little bit of a voice. Like he's doing a Joker.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's straight up doing a Heath Ledger impersonation like some people have been saying.
Yeah. I don't hear that. I don't really buy that at all.
No.
Those are just haters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's people who this is ironic. People who said that Heath Ledger could never be the Joker and that it was terrible. Like
are now his greatest defenders
are now saying like, well, he just copied Heath Ledger. I mean, he's just
well,
it is the internet in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's true.
It also helps that Heath Ledger died.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
true. So you can't say anything bad about his
performance. Yeah, exactly.
At that point,
exactly.
That's true. I'm to say something bad about Heath Ledger's performance. It's kind of worn thin on me now.
Really? Oh, yeah.
I think because it's just so seeped into the consciousness now that I'm tired of it.
Interesting.
And it was only in one film.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm just glad to see something different.
Heath Ledger's performance was really good. Wasn't a big fan of his vocal style.
Okay.
But I think he was the closest to the actual Joker that we've gotten.
A version of the Joker, arguably, yes. But I think I think his Joker fits the mold of that movie very well. But I certainly wouldn't open a comic from the 1980s and be like, oh, look, that's the Joker and it's the Joker. They're very different Jokers.
Well, yeah, of course.
And it's always, that's just the way it is. And Affleck said it. He said, Batman is the American Hamlet. And you expect actors of any caliber to take on and do their own interpretation of this character. And that goes the same for any of these people. It goes for Superman, the Joker, Batman, Lex Luthor, Lois Lane, Wonder Woman. This is our Shakespeare now.
Right.
So I'm ready to see a different interpretation.
It's
great. But clearly menacing. He's definitely torturing Harley Quinn.
Yes.
Because
sure.
yes, because so. there's a flash of a scene of her on a gurney as Dr. Quinzel with like a thing in her mouth, and he's standing over her.
So you think that's what kind of flips her switch in this one? Is
he tortures her in some capacity.
Yeah,
there's clearly a lot of Harley Quinn flashback in this film. There's a lot of it in the trailer, like his goons breaking into I would assume Arkham Asylum and going after her. And all the, like, you know, like the eyeball guy and the dude wearing a Batman mask and, you know, like all these different things. That's maybe not specifically going after Harley, but that's one of his sole reasons for being there.
Yeah, I think so.
And then that torture scene is Harley. Yeah. Because you also have to think, what have they filmed? Because they're not done yet. They're only about halfway through. Yes. And so, like, what have they filmed yet? And so you have to kind of work it in context. Well, obviously they've done all of these scenes with this set. And so you kind of have to work it that way. And so that's good. I mean, there are a lot of different versions as to why she falls in love with him in some capacity or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to go the torture route? Fine. Saw some backlash on the internet. They were like, Harley's dressing like a slut, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw this thing. I saw this thing that shot it down, which was great. It said, she's not meant to be a role model for your young girl.
Yeah.
She is a psychopathic killer. She's not meant for your little girl to look up to.
You know
to.
What? Here's, because I've heard this argument. I've heard this argument since DC relaunched the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
Let's lay the cards out on the table. If this wasn't what actual fashion was nowadays, it wouldn't be seeped into pop culture.
That's true.
I'm not saying every woman is running around with clothes that are that short or that tight, but there are a lot doing it. And it's more socially accepted than it was. It doesn't mean you're a slut. It doesn't mean you're a hoe. It means that you are body positive. you know, you don't mm-hmm. mind dressing like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying it's provocative. Like, mm-hmm. it takes self-confidence to yeah. dress like that. I wouldn't dress like that.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I certainly wouldn't. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that's the message they're trying to get across. I do. And I agree with what you're saying, Tim, where it's like, well, but she's also not supposed to be like a role model for, you know, children everywhere. She's supposed to be a psychopathic killer. She's a very confident psychopathic killer. Put the two together.
You're supposed to be afraid of her.
Right. She's supposed to be intimidating in a way.
Like, you can laugh at, like, going back to Heath Ledger's Joker, you can laugh at some of the stuff he does, but you laugh uncomfortably.
Yeah. Yeah.
At what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not be like, I can't wait to do that myself.
Right. No,
like,
right.
That's what people need to remember.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on from DC.
All right.
Let's hit up some Marvel.
Marvel
had two big
yeah.
film announcements. Yes. Well, I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of the TV announcements for Marvel because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was there.
Yeah.
The only thing I know with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is you got Secret Warriors showing up.
Yeah, I knew that already. Yep. Yeah,
that's right.
But to be fair, I've been checked out on that show.
I am now a little checked out on that show. Yeah. I do know that they had an amazing Instagram video.
Dub Smash War. That was amazing.
The cast of Agent Carter and the cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went back and forth doing lip sync battles on Instagram, and it was hilarious.
The whole thing's compiled on YouTube now, so you can go back and watch it, everything. Hilarious. It's amazing. I don't want to spoil who won.
Yeah.
But
Clark Gregg.
Whoever won in fantastic fashion.
Yes. Yes, they did. Anyway, let's talk about Deadpool first.
Okay.
Deadpool footage came out. Ryan Reynolds said that when he saw the costume, he wept.
Yep.
He and the director wept when they saw it. Because I guess it was built from some guy in New Mexico or something like that. Because they had 12 weeks of pre-production, which he said is nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah. Right. And so they like outsourced the costume to some guy who makes costumes, like out in the middle of nowhere or whatever. And he came up with a bunch of different ones. And that was one of them. And it was like under a spotlight in the whole thing. And they saw it and wept. Like when they saw it. And it's great. And the footage looks great. Looks funny. It's got a weird kind of funky tone to it. Colossus is in it.
Yes.
And he has black hair, which I'm really excited about because it's always bothered me about the X-Men films. I don't know why. Like, just does. Just like, why can't it just be like, why is that so hard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do it.
They're going weird. He's the first superhero on film to have white eyes and be expressive.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's a scene where he sniffs his guns after shooting them, and he says, I'm touching myself tonight. But his eyes are making adjustments as he says it.
Well, what about Dr. Manhattan?
No, that doesn't count. He's or even CG. Rorschach. He doesn't have eyes, Rorschach.
Rorschach doesn't have eyes.
And,
but Dr. Manhattan
and Dr. Does. That's what I'm talking about, like wearing a mask and having white eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the first masked whatever to have expressive
white
eyes.
I understand now. Okay. Yeah,
which I really liked. But overall, it looks cool. It looks fine. I'm looking forward to seeing real footage because they didn't really release it.
Three weeks, they said.
So
I'm saying by Friday.
Is that D23?
They're saying 3 weeks.
What?
D23, you think?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. That's the Disney.
Yeah, I bet you that's it.
Yeah.
No, they're Fox. Doesn't matter.
Oh, you're right. That's Fox. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So it doesn't matter. But I'm excited for that. It's going to be cool. Let's talk X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men.
Yep. Also not officially released.
Right.
I did see it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good footage.
Not bad.
The camp's pretty good.
Quality's pretty good.
The trailer itself looks awesome.
Yeah.
Looks awesome. Yeah. I think that it's got a cool tone. It's going to have an interesting story. Bryan Singer, obviously at this point, we know Bryan Singer makes good X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Is really not a this is not really a question at this point. So I'm very excited for that. Sansa Stark has a very strange American accent.
Truth.
Can't remember her real name for the life of me right now. I knew it too.
I'm pretty sure it's Sansa Stark. I think she had it legally changed.
Cool. All right. Good for her. Shoot, I knew her real name too. Now I just can't remember it. It's blanking, but it doesn't matter because I used my lookup.
Yeah. I'm saving mine.
Okay. What do we think of what Apocalypse looks like? He doesn't sound like I thought he'd sound.
He's
got a smooth, oily, velvety, smooth talker. Yeah. And I liked it a lot. Don't get me wrong. I They went a very wise decision. I'll go first, I guess, because you guys were silent for a second, so I spoke up. They went a really wise decision and didn't go the Thanos dark side route.
Yep.
Because if he was like that, everyone would be like, regular movie going audience would be like, he's just Thanos. He's just that dude with the glove.
Right, right.
Because that's all we pretty much know about Thanos as a regular movie going audience. Right. The dude with the glove and the floaty chair. And so they were smart to go in a different direction than that.
Yes.
And I think he looks really cool, except that he kind of looks like Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers movie.
That is not a bad thing. No. Ivan Ooze was a
good villain when I was 8 years old. Right. Yeah. He was scary. Really good villain when I was 8 years
scary.
Old.
He was scary.
Yep. I agree. But when I saw it yesterday and then today, I was scrolling through Instagram and it says like what I wanted to see in a picture of Apocalypse in the comics, what they showed me, and it was Apocalypse in the film. And what I saw, it was a picture of Ivan Ooze. And I was like, somebody else thought what I thought. That's great.
Somebody out there gets me.
Someone gets me. but that's what I thought of.
I agree. I mean, I think it's a really smart take to make him different, to differentiate him from.
Yeah, he's got a bit of like pharaoh-y, like callback, you know, Egyptian clothing, but yep. Not enough to be like, you're from Egypt.
Yep, exactly.
Or whatever, you're from ancient Egypt or whatever else. But it's just very cool. His horsemen were revealed.
Yes.
So you know who they are. It's Storm with a mohawk. I like the mohawk on Storm.
Young Storm.
Right? Young Storm. Young Storm. Yeah, it's Young Storm. Right. Yeah.
I didn't want to have to go through Halle Berry again.
No, it's Teenage Storm. Yeah, okay. This is the 80s, so it's all the young cast.
Okay.
So it's Storm, Angel with metallic wings.
Yep.
I couldn't tell if he was blue or not, but it's grainy footage. Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And somebody else who I can
really?
Mystique. No, it's not Mystique. No, she runs at him. What?
I was like, really? Somebody else?
Somebody else?
Yeah, believe it or not, four horsemen.
Do you want to use? We use one lookup per show here.
I'll use mine. For
okay.
Because I did see it and I can't remember.
Now I'm blanking and for the life of me I can't remember. So we've had in this newer series of X-Men we've had Days of Future Past.
It's technically just First Class and Days of Future Past.
That was right. The one I was trying to think of. First Class and Days of Future Past. And
is it Havoc? Maybe it's Havoc.
It could be Havoc. We haven't really seen Storm in this iteration, correct?
No, it's just Halle Berry from Days of Future Past.
And have we even seen Angel in this iteration?
No.
So do you think that the impact is lessened given the fact that you haven't had these characters yet?
For Storm, maybe not, because I think audiences are like know who she is, and so to be like, oh, what's she doing over there? How's she gonna get to his side?
Yeah.
And so for that, maybe not.
But like Angel.
For Angel, I think maybe because if you've only seen Last Stand, that's your only attraction from just a pure movie standpoint. Right. But that doesn't.
And even then the comics though, like Angel was one of the original
X-Men. Right. But in this movie, he's not one of the original X-Men if you start with First Class.
Right. So but what I'm saying is there less of an impact to be like, oh my God, those are the four horsemen?
Maybe not, because you don't exactly know what they're going to do. And maybe there's enough of Magneto in there and you know enough about Storm to be like
Magneto is great, because Magneto, it's like, oh, I mean, yeah, he's a villain. So being a four horseman. Yeah.
So that makes sense. But I guess in the film, I guess he's like living a normal life and Apocalypse finds him. Because what Oscar Isaac said, that Apocalypse can do all these different things, blah, blah, blah. But his real thing is manipulating people.
Right.
And so it's getting him to do exactly what he wants them to do. And that's why Angel's there. That's why Storm. Yeah, he's a cult leader. That's an excellent way to put it. Yeah.
By the way, it's Magneto, Storm, Angel, and Psylocke.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, there's a great Conan interview with Olivia Munn. Did you see this?
The
whole cast is interviewed.
Yeah.
And she talks about getting into the Psylocke outfit. Costume. And I guess they have to lube her down and the costume.
I've heard.
It's the interview is hysterical. Actually, with all of them, because they do this like Magneto Charles Xavier love video thing, and it's so funny.
It's pretty good.
It's so funny.
It reminded me of that episode of Friends where Ross can't get into the pants.
Yes.
They're now forming a paste.
Make yourself a pair of paste pants. Yeah. All right. So anything else on... Because it's grainy footage, we can't really...
It's hard to speculate. Right. It's hard to really...
Yeah.
And I'm kind of holding out until probably like Friday when both of these things are released officially.
Yeah, who knows when they're going to do it. But
looks.
It just looks great. It looks really good. And I can't wait to watch it.
They're doing great work with this new series. Oh, and James McAvoy with the head.
Yeah, shaved his head.
Yeah,
we've seen a lot of pictures of him around with a shaved head.
About time.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, I don't mind Charles Xavier with hair.
It's unnatural.
It could just be hereditary.
Unnatural.
Yeah. I don't know why he doesn't have hair this time. Yeah. Maybe it is to make Cerebro better, because in first class they talk about, like, it would be better if you shaved your head. So maybe that's what he does. But then his hair never grows back for some weird reason. Because of the reasons. Anything else on those? We haven't even touched on comic news.
But to be fair, Marvel and DC kind of did their news dump for comics prior.
Before Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know everything that's coming out in October for Marvel. You know what's coming down the pike in January for DC. And to be fair, DC's, out of the two announcements, DC's was less exciting. Less exciting, but I mean, at the same time, you don't...
They just started a whole new initiative.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to see like mass cancellations to get new stuff in.
Right.
Marvel, that's what they're building towards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Although they're bringing back Squirrel Girl, for the love of God. I don't know why.
It's just stuff on your shelf.
Just business.
Yeah, just business. Business.
I would like stuff on my shelf that sells.
Right. It's just wasting space.
But like Brian Bendis to do Iron Man,
yeah,
I'm behind this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely behind
it. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, as far as comic news, yeah,
this is the Superman Lois
Married
and Have a Child series.
The Dark
Superman Renew Your Vows, if you will.
Basically. Yeah.
You got Dark Knight Master Race, you know more about
Andy Kubert.
Who's gonna be on that?
Andy
Kubert's gonna be on that.
Yeah. And
Klaus Janson.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Somehow Frank Miller's gonna be writing, doing covers, and doing interior. I'm assuming they're just like, just do whatever you want, Frank, and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, exactly.
They might have. I mean, he's not a well man, so I can't imagine that they're really relying on him to do this stuff.
I'm really hoping that this book is almost in the can.
Yeah.
Me too. I don't
want to be left hanging like I have been for All Star.
What happens? I need to know. Anyway.
And on the Marvel side, did they really announce anything
at
Comic-Con? Really.
There's
a female Blade series coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they did.
Female Blade. Yeah, no.
Not really.
No.
Other than that.
I don't know. I was so focused on the movie and TV news
because everyone was.
That seemed to be this year, especially what it was for.
Yeah, more than ever.
Right.
And there's other stuff that's not even comic related that I got super psyched for. Like Warner Brothers released a five or six minute trailer for Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, did they? I missed that.
It looks so good. I can't even. I'm so excited.
I'm gonna check it out.
I'm so excited to watch it. So I think that's about it.
I think it would be safe to say that since Marvel dumped their whole big October initiative weeks before San Diego, that DC won San Diego this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Star Wars.
Well, that's next. I thought you were done with comics, but Star Wars next.
I was going to say the episode. I totally forgot about
Star Wars. Oh, no. Dude,
to be fair, like Star Wars, you have the behind-the-scenes panel and the behind-the-scenes video that came out.
Which...
They didn't release a new trailer.
No, they didn't. They they said they're not going until September.
Or until D23.
They said not till September. They said not till September. And I was thinking D23 would get another one.
I'm thinking officially
now, hold on.
September.
Now, okay, I'm thinking they said trailer in September. It doesn't mean there won't be a third teaser. There could be another teaser
at true.
D23 and then theatrical it's trailer tricky. In September, which is only 3 months before the release, which is...
Jedi Mind Tricky. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The third teaser is just J.J. Abrams with a flashlight.
Practical effects! Practical effects!
That would be amazing. I would pee my pants if that's what it was.
Yeah.
This is how you create lens flare. Anyway,
Dude,
the panel was great.
Yeah,
it's great to see the three. It's the first time I've seen
all three of them together.
All three of them together.
Yeah,
which was awesome.
Right?
Did you see like any
the triumphant of Luke, Leia, and Han? For
yeah,
those exactly. Who don't know what I mean by they?
Did you see the clip of when Harrison Ford walked out on that stage? Like I saw a Vine of it.
Yeah, he was walking.
Yes, but the crowd
actually
reaction,
I believe he was floating.
Yeah.
He
was flying his plane.
Damn,
and he
his chair. Yeah.
Gently landed.
Fans were just picking him up and gently lifting him.
Crowd surfing him all the way there. No, it was like Carrie and Mark came out, and then it was like the crowd was cheering for, like, you know, we want Han, we want
right.
Han, and then out he came and they burst out like it was triumphant.
It was really like the only
carrier.
The only way to really
so.
The only way to really give it justice is it was like a Michael Jackson concert circa 1980.
Yeah.
Like people were crying and passing out in the stands,
resting in the spirit, raising
yeah,
their
that's
hands.
It,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was something else. I mean, and he was getting like emotional talking about Star Wars, which like you know. When his usual attitude is "Who cares?"
Yeah,
it's,
it was good.
Yeah,
it's good that he felt that
it was
way.
Great to see that,
and it seemed genuine. There
I,
was
it did.
I always felt he's downplayed Star Wars.
I agree.
Like, I don't think he actually. I've never thought he actually hated it.
No, I don't.
I think it was just like a running.
I think
joke.
He's embraced being a curmudgeon, and
yeah,
he just kind of
right.
lives with it now. Because there's a great story John Boyega told. I don't know if it was during the panel or not, but he talks about going out to dinner with Harrison Ford.
Okay.
When they were in London, it was just the two of them, and they went to maybe like a Nigerian restaurant or something like that, and they sat down, and the waiter's like, "Are you Harrison Ford?" And he goes, "I used to be."
I really do. I,
yeah.
Oddly enough, though, when they leave the dinner, they go into a plane and crash into a golf
course. Oh,
he
get
did,
off my plane!
He was
All right,
asked
I'll crash
to,
it.
Though, yeah, he was asked. Like, what advice would you give to the new people? And he said, it's too late for you. He said, your life, as if you think you can live a normal life after this, you're lying to
yeah.
yourself. Like, it's over.
Star Wars changes your life.
Star Wars yep. changes your
Star
life.
Star Wars is life-changing. It was great to see them all together. That behind-the-scenes reel, I thought, was really great
It was
great
really
to see.
Good. Did you watch the behind-the-scenes reel, Palmer?
I did not.
You should. It was really good.
I will eventually. I don't know. Unfortunately, I think Mark Hamill just sounds too much like the Joker and looks too much like the Trickster.
That's a great way of putting it.
You know, and you know, I'm still embracing my theory that Luke dies in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I think Han dies.
See, I think Luke, because at the beginning of every trilogy, you have the old Jedi Master that dies.
That's a very valid. That's a very valid point.
No, like, I don't want Luke to die.
I don't
He's
want
dead.
Him either.
Give it up.
But you know what?
Does his son General Hux kill him?
To
I
be,
don't know if it's really
To
his
be
son
fair,
or...
he'll just come back for the next two movies as Blue Ghost.
As a Force Ghost. Yeah.
That's
okay.
true.
It was great to see. We got to see Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia in this clip, like in costume.
Yep.
Which was
she in the was she in the slave girl?
No slave girl, no star puffs. But
yep. just a maroon vest.
Maroon vest.
But that's it.
Yeah. But nothing else. but yeah, it was great to see that. It was great to see they did a really cool thing where they showed some of the shots we've already seen in the previous teasers, and you get to see the what happened 5 seconds before that shot. So you get to see the like, all right, everyone, action! Like you get to see that happening, and so it shows you like, oh wow, like that shot of all the stormtroopers on that transport, like
those
that's
are all
just,
real stormtroopers.
That's real. Those are just real people on a set. Like
right.
you know, everything is real. Like they did a really good job of showing here are the shots we showed you in those.
And it's true. And there are some really great shots
yeah.
of some new aliens
yes.
that are
yes.
clearly practical.
Oh yeah.
And they look cool. There's a shot of Ackbar and,
yeah.
and Calrissian's co-pilot, his name I can't remember right now.
And Ackbar just says it's a trap.
It's a trap.
That's all well, he's in the movie
head,
for.
So it's like, no, it's like.
Is it in a fish
no,
tank?
It's like
an animatronic
drama. Drama. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a trap. Like you say that every time I walk by, Admiral. He's like, but it is.
One day I'll be right.
Yeah, one day I'll be right. Yeah.
It's like that singing fish you put on your wall.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry.
Every time you walk by.
Be happy.
Yep.
The one thing I'm really looking forward to in this movie, and it's really not even like Luke or Leia or Han.
yeah, it'll be great to see him back. I want to know what the story is with the Peter Parker of Stormtroopers and why he can never keep his mask on.
Because it's a trap.
Because it's a trap.
It's made of fathers.
No, it's because his father was a secret spy or something.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be more spy-like to keep your mask on?
No, not if you're James Bond.
But he's not. He's a stormtrooper.
James Bond. Everyone knows.
That's a little short for a stormtrooper.
Maybe this is the stormtrooper that realizes, look, the reason we can't hit anything is because of these masks.
Guys, I can see everything now.
Yeah. Like, our ratio getting hit is much lower because I can shoot things back.
He just starts pinging off Republic troops.
Like, oh, he's the best stormtrooper in the history of stormtroopers. And he's like, yeah.
Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
Yeah.
With the helmets off.
Right.
It's like they're shooting like a 100-foot Jawa vehicle. Yeah, exactly. It's like the Sandcrawler. It's like only Imperial Stormtroopers are so precise. Like,
which we never see.
Literally stood in a line and kind of just fired in a random direction. Like, yeah, we never see them.
That's true.
Obi-Wan's full of crap.
Maybe he remembers the olden days.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
true.
It's kind of like, you know, getting led to believe, you know, Vader. You know, killed all of these Jedi. Yeah. Like, no, he really didn't. He killed the younglings.
He killed kids.
He killed the kids that couldn't run.
I would love it. I would love it if we went back to episode 4, like the one that was just released, and it said, oh, you just hear Obi-Wan, only Imperial clone troopers are so precise.
Yeah, right.
You're like, no! Oh, you bastard.
Digitally editing.
I can't wait for the Force Awakens special edition.
Yeah. Oh my god. No, it's not coming.
Well, no, it will. We'll get better special effects. It'll be awesome.
Oh man. It'll be made of fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for Star Wars. I'm excited for all the Marvel stuff. I'm excited for all the DC stuff. It all looks and sounds good.
It's good.
In my estimation.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, guys, on Comic-Con? I mean, there's a lot we didn't cover, but
be where the people are.
Okay.
Yep.
Don't steal my stuff that I stole from other people.
Yeah. Hey, no, I sent that to you.
Funny.
No, I sent that to you.
Oh, uh-oh. I already seen it, but I just didn't tell you that because I wanted you to feel special. I'm sorry.
So you got con mode in full swing. Now I'm guessing New York will actually get more
comic stuff. It usually does. Boston Comic Con will get nothing.
Boston Comic Con will get nothing. We'll get a panel with Jimmy and Amanda Connor, and hopefully hopefully somebody asks them why their writing has declined so much.
Womp womp.
And then Rhode Island Comic Con, yes. There's my impending marriage to Karen Gillan.
Oh, of course.
Don't tell Karen Gillan.
Nope, big secret.
I want it to be a surprise.
Of course. I mean, you don't want to ruin the surprise. That would just be anticlimactic. You know. Gotta keep it fresh.
Right.
But I agree. I think New York Comic Con is where we'll get a lot more comic news, but typically that's what we see in the last couple of years. I really wanted to try to make it to New York Comic Con this year, but it's just not gonna work out for me, I don't think. But that's okay. There'll be other
comic cons. I'll go one day. One day.
It's fun. One day more.
Yeah.
Where can the people find us, Frank?
They can find us on the internet at BeerWithGeeks on Twitter, BeerWithGeeks@gmail.com. They can find us now on Instagram, Beer with Geeks.
Yes, they can. I did not update it yet.
All right.
Technology.
But now that it's ours, I can make sure that nobody updates it. No, it's ours now.
Facebook, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Please, on iTunes, leave us a rating or a review. You could write out a review, or you could leave a quick star rating. We'd love it.
Tell us how much you love or hate Palmer.
Exactly.
No, love.
Love. It's all love.
It's all love.
It's all love.
The only people that hate me, it's like Mark Wade. And that's, he has reasons.
Because you hate him. I'm not getting into this. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Palmer, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time.
Cheers.